I invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 13. Let's briefly look at a few verses here. Romans chapter 13. It says in verse 1 of Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you that we as a nation can freely open your word. We can freely worship you. Again, Father, we thank you for those that you have put over us to help us. They are your ministers. Father, help us to respect them. Help us to honor them as we should. Father, as we look in your word this morning, help us to see more about you and help us to see more of ourselves and how we should live in relationship to you. We thank you for what you will show us, and we pray that you would be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The word power in these verses speaks of authority. Some may think that the idea of authority is oppressive, but really we can see in the Bible, and you look at our statement of faith as a church, and the Bible tells us that God established authority even before the fall of man. God didn't establish authority because he wanted to come down hard on us. God established authority even before the fall, and by virtue of the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, according to Genesis 1:1, he established authority. When God created, he established his authority, and because he is the creator, he is the ultimate authority. He has rightful ownership and control over all things. When he created man, he gave Adam authority over creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 shows us that. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." When God created Eve, she was taken out of man, thereby giving man the authority over the woman in the home. It wasn't something to be oppressive. It was just God set up that authority. And it's also shown by the fact that when God came to the garden after they sinned, who did God look for? He looked for Adam. He says, "Adam, you're the responsible. You're the head. God set up that authority. As men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the authority would be used in various capacities throughout history. This morning, I want to look at three aspects of authority or power, as it says in Romans 13. The need for power, the source of the power, and the application of the power. First of all, the need for power. God's intent when he gave man authority over creation was to keep it orderly. He says in Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So God wanted man to keep order. And that is God's intent with all authority. Authority is here to keep order, to keep things going as they should, as God intended. After Adam and Eve sinned and the true nature of man became evident, authority also became more necessary. Sin is a direct affront to the authority of God. And the sin of Adam and Eve had to be dealt with according to God's word. God had told Adam and Eve, "You can have every part of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you cannot eat." because in the day that you eat, you will surely die. God established that one command. And when they sinned, they disobeyed that command. And so God had to deal with that because God was the authority. And God had to deal with it according to what he had said. As we read through the Bible, we see one instance after another where the need for authority becomes evident. And it all comes down to one reason. The sinfulness of man had to be dealt with to maintain order in God's creation. Let me show you some examples. In Genesis chapter 4, we read of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were born to Adam and Eve. One day they were bringing an offering to the Lord. Abel brought an offering that was accepted by the Lord. Cain brought an offering that was not accepted by the Lord. Well, Cain got upset and he rose up and slew his brother. We see in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" He said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And so God had to deal with the sin of Cain. Over in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, you see that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, we won't turn there, but Exodus chapter 3 tells about how God was going to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. The king of Egypt had become oppressive, had brought them into slavery for 400 plus years. And God called Moses to come down and deliver and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were to go to a new land of promise, a new way of living, following God and not the ways of the world. God was wanting to reestablish order among his people. Throughout Israel's history, however, God had to exercise his authority over them because they had turned to idols. Many of the kings of Israel had led their people into false worship of false gods, and were thereby necessitating their deliverance. God led them into captivity by their enemies because God wanted them to see their wickedness. He wanted them to repent of it, and he wanted to restore them to a right relationship with him. And God lays that out in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He says, I want you to return to me. I want you to repent. I want you to make things right. I want that order of our relationship to be reestablished. In the early 1770s, the American colonists were observing that the British Parliament was becoming more and more oppressive. Seeing that they were attempting to take away their freedoms, the colonists determined that it was time to establish their own nation and consequently their own system of government. So on July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence from the British Empire was approved and signed by 56 men who made up the Second Continental Congress. Years later, the colonies would establish their new government and the first presidency being served by George Washington. Why was it necessary? Why did they have to do that? Because the freedom of the people to live as they believed God would have them to live was under attack. And they needed to establish a proper authority. They needed to restore order as God designed it. But there's another place this morning I want to look at the need for power and need for authority. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we read this verse. It says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." As we pointed out a little bit ago, God held Adam responsible for that sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." You see, because Adam sinned, because Adam represented mankind, all of us are sinners from birth. Romans 3:23 confirms that. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have defiled God's order. We have defiled God's command. We have not obeyed God's command. And it declares us all sinners before a holy God. When Adam and Eve sinned, the order in God's creation was corrupted. Man was no longer living his life according to God's ways, but was living according to the desires of his own sinful heart. And as we saw, God has had to deal with man's sinful nature all throughout history. But something had to be done to restore order to God's creation, to bring peace to the relationship between God and man. How was it going to happen? How is order going to be restored between God and man? You're instructed in Romans 13:1, says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now that's talking about civil authority. We're to obey those in authority over us. And we know that there is a need for those authorities to maintain order. But how will order in our society really be restored? Secondly, I want to look at the source of the power. It's clear from what we've seen already that authority is based in God. God's authority was established by the fact that he is the creator. And he in turn gave man authority over the creation to subdue it and to maintain it. But throughout history, God has set up men in places of authority. Psalm 75 verse 7 says, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21, he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So God set up kings. He set up men in authority. He'd set up, and then he'd take them down if they needed to be taken down. When Jesus was on trial before Pilate, Pilate makes this statement in John 19:10. He says, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus says in verse 11, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. He says, Pilate, you don't have any power except what you get from my Father. As a nation, we have certain freedoms. Where did those freedoms come from? Yeah, those freedoms have been maintained by many battles, many wars. But where did those freedoms come from? Samuel Adams declared, the right of freedom being the gift of the Almighty, the rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament. Thomas Jefferson made this statement, God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gifts of God? They are not to be violated but with his wrath. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. We say that the need for power was because of the sinfulness of man and his need to be restored to a relationship with God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. The just penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. But God in his mercy has provided a way to be saved from the penalty of death. Why? Because God is a source of power, and the power that we need is the one that we need from God. Thomas Jefferson stated it well when he said, God who gave life gave us liberty. What was the liberty we really need? It's the liberty from the freedom from our sin, the freedom from that penalty of sin that we were all born with and we all deal with in our life. God is a source of power, and he is the way that we can receive freedom from sin's penalty. So we see the need of the power. We see the source of the power. And I want to look finally at the application of the power. If you look at Romans chapter 13, we're told that we are to obey those in authority over us because the authority that they have comes from God. We look at our police officers this morning, we realize they're not just in it because of the fun of it. God has allowed them to be in that position because he wants them there. He wants them to fulfill a responsibility in our community. God has ordained that they are there. What does it look like for us to honor those in authority or obey those in authority over us? We'll look at verses 2 through 7. We'll read them again. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Why is it that we're able to have a good relationship with our police and our fire departments? Because we're not going out and robbing banks. We're not going out and creating all kinds of confusion by disobeying the laws. We're not going out and starting fires for no reason at all. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying to obey the laws of the land. And we can have a right relationship with those in authority over us because of that. God has placed people in positions of authority in our communities, our states, and our nation to maintain order in our lives. If we look at them as that position, that responsibility, they're there to maintain order. Some people think it would be a good idea to get rid of those people in authority. That leads to chaos and confusion. We've seen that. Where people say, well, we don't want the police anymore. What happens? Chaos, confusion. Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Korah rose up against Moses, says, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself. We need to spread this out a little bit. And God says, Moses is the one I've chosen. And he had to deal very severely with Korah for rebelling against Moses' authority. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, let me read that for you. Nehemiah 9, 26. It says, nevertheless, and God, Nehemiah here is reviewing what God had done for the children of Israel, how God had brought them out of captivity, how God had brought them to a new land. But he says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. See, rebelling against our authority doesn't help us at all. It just brings more upon us, bring more consequences on our own lives. Why is our country in the condition it is in today? I believe it's because we have resisted God's authority. We've resisted those that God has placed in authority over us. Why is the authority there? Again, it's to maintain order and freedom. Can those in authority become oppressive? Yeah, they can. That's the sin nature of man showing itself. But we are to be respectful and obey those in authority according as they follow God's laws. How do we apply the power that God demonstrated to restore us to a right relationship with him? How do we apply that power? We've talked about how God used men in our country to establish a new government in order that we might have order in our country once again. But how do we take that power that we read about in Romans 13, how do we apply that to our own lives? Have that right relationship between God and man. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, Jesus Christ has the authority through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave to make us children of God. But we must receive his gift of salvation that he offers us. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the only way that we are restored to our right relationship with the Father is through Jesus Christ. You see, as citizens, we can see order and freedom in our communities if we'll give proper respect and obedience to those in authority over us. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We're to give honor to them. God has placed them there. We're to honor them. And God will place those in authority that he wills, and we must do our part to honor those in authority. That's why we did that this morning. We can have order and freedom in our spiritual lives when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and obey him. And if there's someone here this morning that has not done that, I would encourage you, please come and talk to me after the service. I'd be glad to take the time and sit down and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, how you know Christ is your Savior, how you again can have that spiritual peace and order in your life, that freedom from sin that each one of us needs. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the truths of your word. Father, we thank you for the authorities that you have set up over us to maintain order. Father, we know that they are there for your purposes. Father, help us to honor and respect them. Help us to obey them. Father, again, I pray for your protection over them. Father, thank you for all those who serve in our community in various aspects. And Father, this morning, if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, Father, that is the freedom that they need most in their lives. They need freedom from sin's penalty. They need to be restored to a right relationship with you. And Father, I would love to talk to them. I'd love to share with them how they can know you as Savior. There is no greater need in each one of our lives. Father, I pray that you would do work in our hearts this morning. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.